Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and I'm here to romp with you, and I'm here to romp with my friends. But wait, I gotta say, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and you know what? It's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and I'm gonna say it's another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. Being a little zen about it. And I like to also be a little zen about the fact that Cher and I are co-founders of a new Unity online ministry called Uni Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And you can get to us very easily by the initials of that, ucfyp.com. Or you can go to yourspiritualpractice.com and find more information.
More information, the link, your products, and amazing timing, starting a new online ministry, I have to say.
Yeah, that worked out very well.
It worked out very, very well. And I have my ministry and my online stuff, and that's found at paulhasselbeck.com, where you can see my calendar and my blog, which is The Absolute Word. And all of them are stored there. In fact, if you have something going on with you, you can go there, you can search for a topic and read a topic that would apply to whether you want peace or divine order or anything like that. So are you guys ready to play?
We are.
We are always.
Yes. We are continuing with our third part, historical unity and epidemics and contagion. I want to say, oh my, right?
Yes.
Oh my. And we've been exploring an article written by Clara Palmer in 1936 in Weekly Unity. And then the title of that is Away with Epidemics. Away with Epidemics.
Very timely topic.
Yes, indeed. So Cher, you want to take it away?
All right. So we have already talked about a good portion of this article. So be sure and check our last couple of podcasts, because you'll be up to date then. And we're going to pick up right here where she says, do we want to go over Charles Fillmore's quote again?
Yeah, I think you should go back a little bit.
Okay. So forgive us as we plan, right in the middle of our podcast, but that shows the kitchen table mentality that we all have here.
Right.
So let me just share right in the middle of this article, she shares a quote by Charles Fillmore. And we have some things to say about this. Charles Fillmore says, quote, "Disease germs created and named by the intellect of man bear within themselves sufficient intelligence to answer to the name given to them and to come when they are called," end quote.
Okay. So, you know what? We didn't talk about the last time, this idea of mankind naming things really comes from the Old Testament. Remember, I think it was in Genesis that Adam was given the ability to name things?
Yes.
I think that's what Charles is referring to here. And he's also implying that when we name them, we call them to us. They hear us and they come running.
he did have children, didn't he?
He did. He did.
His children must have been very different from ours.
Right. And they have sufficient intelligence to answer. That's really amazing. Bill, do you have anything to say on that?
Well, just briefly review just a piece of the science behind Papa Charlie, because he was on to something there. And in today's environment that we're in this pandemic environment, this sort of relates to what's going on with that too. And I'll tell you why, because Papa Charlie's really talking about what scientists call microbial intelligence.
Intelligence, microbes.
Yes. And he's saying that bacterial colonies can mimic biological neural networks. That's where the intelligence comes from. The bacteria can take inputs in the form of chemical signals and process them and then produce output chemicals to signal other bacteria in the colony. And this is what happens when they do. And in a pandemic, bacteria move and feed cooperatively in predatory groups known as swarms or wolf packs, using multiple forms of signaling and gene swapping. Populations of bacteria use quorum sensing to judge their own densities and then identify any microbes that are unlike them and essentially attack them and destroy them.
The attack and destroy mission.
Cue the music.
Cue the music, right? Okay, so you're ready to go on? That is just mind-boggling what you just shared.
And I think that's really cool, though, to be aware of that, that that's why we don't always understand these things.
Right.
It's because it's not just our intelligence trying to understand. There's an intelligence there that's also functioning, trying to adapt to us, so, and doing a very good job, I might say, at this point.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the article goes on right after the quote and says, when a community, a household, or an individual learns to know God as health and wholeness are called forth and made manifest to others. Health is stronger than disease and even more readily communicated. In the days of the disciples, sick folk were carried and placed where the shadow of Peter might fall over them. What a consciousness of health and wholeness Peter must have gained from the Master.
Wow. And
I would actually say they also brought people to Jesus way before Peter.
They did. They absolutely did. And this is really interesting, talking about health as a kind of contagion, right? So it's really, really interesting. And there is some evidence that we can catch negative feelings and positive feelings from other people if we're not being present. Mm-hmm. Of course, we don't mind the positive stuff, but the negative stuff is what we don't want to enter into our greater awareness.
Right.
And this calling forth thing always baffles me. It's really more like calling it into awareness. Because the principles of wholeness and health are present at the point of us. And we call them into awareness. And then she says, made manifest to others. Is that in the form of my being healthy? I just wondered. Did you have a comment on that, Sharon?
I was thinking more about, because they related to the disciples and everything, I was thinking about the story of the Pool of Bethesda. Have we talked about that on this show? Because I think it was in our special cafe we talked about that story. And it happened during the Passion Week. It's a Passion Week story of the Pool of Bethesda, where the sick person was waiting to be carried to the pool and nobody would take him. And Jesus came and asked him if he wanted to be healed. And the question, I always thought that was such an interesting question about healing and health, and it may fit into this pandemic time now, because why do we focus so much on the disease? Do we want health? Do we want this to be over? Or is there some part of us that gets excited about what's happening? The implications, if we say no, if you start thinking, if I'm healed, then what? Then I have to.
Well, there's that, and there's also just the way we evolved and the conditions we evolved in. We are tuned to look for the negative.
Yes.
Because it's the negative how we survive. So to me, it's like we're attracted to the train wreck. We observe the train wreck, and we're really glad the train wreck isn't happening to me.
Very well put.
Right? It's like,
Great example.
It's like, ugh. So,
yeah. Well, going back to what Sheriff said, I had read by Claire Palmer, in the days of the disciples, sick folk were carried in place where the shadow of Peter might fall upon them. Paraphrase a little bit, because Peter probably told those who carried the sick to make sure they washed their hands and keep physical distance.
Right? Yeah, they were.
So they had to get in the shadow, not touch.
That's what it was. They had to get the shadow. But we make light.
Yes. Well, there could be something to that. Maybe they knew more than we thought they knew.
Well, so there was leprosy was the big scourge.
Yeah, that's right. And there was no touching with that. It was very contagious.
Yes, indeed. Okay. So now it looks like we're going to get into some affirmations, or what I'm calling assertions these days.
Assertions, yes. Quote, God is my health. Be sure of this within your own mind and heart. Then make a daily practice of blessing all who come into your environment in thought or in person with the words, God is your health. quietly, confidently, peacefully know for yourself and others, and especially for little children, that God is your health.
So I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
So God is my health, and that God is the principle of health. Mm-hmm. And we've defined, Charles defined God as the universal principle, which contains all principles. I'm claiming that. I claim it for you. It helps my consciousness too, right?
Mm-hmm. So I think you could turn that into an I am statement for those who don't want to use the word God. I am vitality and health.
I am health. I would definitely do that. Yep.
Yeah. And I think sending it out to others is so powerful. And we need to do that now more than ever, just remembering the power of the spoken word and the power of health.
Right. And seeing it as the truth in the other. Mm-hmm. It's a way of seeing the divine of them.
Definitely.
Okay, Bill, or shall we go on?
I just want to make one comment. For me, I like to say that in this case, health underwrites all physical beingness.
It does. Mm. It does. In fact, it's a over limitation on health is how I would define sickness.
Right, exactly.
So we might want to just make a comment here for people who are feeling guilty because they're not healthy. That's one of our unity guilt trips, I think, that we don't mean to do, but it sometimes comes across that way. Like if you can't maintain perfect health, then you're doing something wrong. And I want to make sure people don't hear us saying that.
I think that's important. And I think it's also important that if you are demonstrating illness and claiming health, no one can tell you that your claiming health isn't working. Because who knows how sick you would be if you weren't claiming health?
True.
Exactly. And who knows what's going on within you that you can't see or feel yet?
Yes, exactly.
I know when we were doing dancing, we would talk about how awful it was, and the coach would say, "Trust me, I can see your progress before you can."
Oh, that's brilliant.
And I think the same thing might be true with our bodies. Our body can be healing before we can actually experience it.
Wow. And usually it is easier for another person to see how good you are because we're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. That's where a coach comes in so handy in so many ways. Yeah.
And the example of the talk you did on Sunday that I watched.
Yes, Paul was kind enough to say, "You're too hard on yourselves," because we were talking about all the things we did wrong.
Yes. What's one thing you did right?
We showed up.
right,
and we had good energy. I think
and
we
you had,
good energy.
Really good energy. You had happy energy. Yes. Yeah, you showed up. So what?
That was good. And we kept our distance. We kept social distance.
And everyone kept their distance.
Yes.
So that
yes.
was really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I guess I want to say we're talking about this health too, with illness. I believe health underwrites all of our physical beingness.
Right.
It's there. All we have to do is connect with that. And of course, Unity says go to headquarters. And what I like about that is Sarah and I just come up with a synonym for headquarters. And we call it the divine sweet spot. And it's SUITE, sweet. The divine
nice.
Sweet spot.
Nice. Nice. The divine sweet spot.
And so when we travel to the sweet spot through our affirmations and our positivity, et cetera, we'll move ourselves into more healthy quarters.
Absolutely. I think that's really good.
Yeah. Wow, that's a tweetable right there.
That's a tweetable. Yep, indeed.
All right.
All right.
So moving into the next paragraph, she says, "You could truly prove God as your health." Oh, I have a problem with that, but that's okay. Let me keep reading. You can truly prove God as your health. Many others have done it. You can do it. Truth makes you strong, fearless, and healthy. It makes your mind, heart, service, and environment wholesome and orderly.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking there. Because if you're not healthy, you're not proving God, so there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, and I just don't like that phrase, prove God. It's like, it goes back to that testing thing.
Yeah, so
and
that's
bargaining.
That's an Old Testament thing. And
it is.
And the Bible was revered by early Unity folks and Myrtle and Charles. This is before they had any of the Bible scholarship that we know of today. Yeah. And so it was all, you know, prove God, you know, isn't that one of the things about around tithing even?
Yes.
You got to
yes.
prove God. You don't prove God. God might be 100% proof. 100 proof, but
well, you know, though, as I look at this, and all of us Unitechs know this, the Fillmores saw unity as a bridge between the old way of thinking and the more enlightened thought. So this is what I think he's saying here too.
So it's always in that context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so when you read a lot of the early stuff, I think they learned when by saying things so bluntly, they lost people. Mm. And they found ways to use the traditional language in new ways and still in the old ways.
True.
Yeah, well, we understand that, don't we? Because
sometimes
we lose people because we're so almost harsh about the languaging, and some people just get frustrated with that.
Yeah, and it's chemicalizing stuff in them. They're hearing it, mm-hmm. and they're thinking it means something. And, you know, I'd rather people reject what I'm thinking and teaching because they understand it than what they think they understand.
Mm-hmm. True.
And so I'm all about plain language.
Yeah.
And hoping that whatever I say is, if they're rejecting it now, it's planting a seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's the best we can do.
And planting a seed of higher thought. And as we said before in another podcast, the Article 6 of Unity's Articles of Incorporation actually says that the Unity movement is based on the evolving human consciousness of higher thought.
Right.
And so that's where we take people. And we know that's where you take people. And it's important. We need to continue doing that.
Agreed.
Yes. I know I'm thinking of all these things I could say in response to that, I mean, to add to it, but I'm not going to.
Oh, come on. Say one thing.
I was just going to say, in spite of all the hassle that we get from.
In spite of all the hassle, yeah.
Yes, and all the criticism. We're doing it for a reason.
Right.
Okay. So let us work together. So let us work together to free the race from epidemics, to lift from babies and children the ban of diseases commonly associated with childhood. Let us turn thumbs down on mumps, measles, whooping cough, and the like, and know for our little ones and teach them to know God as health. Let us call forth in the name of the Son, the perfect life and wholeness of our Father God.
Wow. Can't get any more traditional than that, can you?
Yeah. Mm. You mix that with science and you see what's happened with vaccines.
Right. And in that previous article, they were anti-vaccine.
Yeah. Mm, and they probably don't like vaccine. They want to do it without vaccine. But we really do believe there can be a mix and a marriage between science and spirituality.
Well, so I think we're proving it. And the Fillmores proved that in other areas. Mm-hmm. And I think we've shared this. One of the reasons they split from Christian Science is because Christian Science didn't believe in medicine. Right. Whereas the Fillmores thought medicine was fine. It was divine idea coming forth in the mind of man. Yeah. So like I said, they're inconsistent, they're not precise. And so the advantage of that is, like, we're not being told this is the truth. We're being given this, and we have to use our current 21st century understanding, a mix of metaphysics and science and all of that, to come to our own conclusions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And really, the Fillmores were on the cutting edge of science and spirituality and that marriage.
They were.
They definitely were.
Yeah,
they definitely were. Okay, one more paragraph and we'll get this done.
And it's going to be perfect timing. Away with contagion and its demands. Away with ignorance, bondage, and fear. Let the kingdom of Jesus Christ be ushered in and the reign of wholeness be established. Let truth be made known to all mankind. God is our health.
Wow, she is preaching it there, isn't she?
Yep, she is. Yep. Yes.
And I know, can anybody argue with away with contagion, away with ignorance, away with, we're totally involved in that. And they were all over the idea of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ mm-hmm. is here now, raising me to his consciousness. They believe is whatever essence is always available to us.
Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of the quote, I think I just posted it recently on my Facebook page, is facts do not cease to exist because they're ignored.
Right.
And I think part of this away with ignorance, bondage, and fear is being able to hear science and facts and put it in the context and then say, now, how can I use this?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for us to pivot to the absolute word. And of course, it is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, which is a copyrighted Unity publication and has been used with permission. And we're grateful for that permission. This one comes from Sunday, March 29th, 2020. The words are inner peace. And the affirmation is, I find the principle of peace in the silence. I find the principle of peace in the silence. The Hebrew scriptures tell the story of the Lord commanding the prophet Elijah to stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. As he waits, Elijah fails to find God as he endures a wind strong enough to split mountains, an earthquake, and then a fire. Then Elijah discovers God in the sound of sheer silence. The silence is a state of total non-awareness. When I come out of this state, I may experience inner peace, a peace that passes understanding. I manifest this peace from the principle of peace. Sometimes chaos surrounds me as I find inner peace. Other times the chaos may be inside me. I persist in my efforts as I confront inner storms, fires, and earthquakes. Like Elijah, I remain steadfast in faith until inner peace is mine. I find the principle of peace in the silence. I don't know about you guys. Whenever I hear that story, the wind was strong enough to split mountains. So why wasn't Elijah blown away?
Really? Absolutely. Yeah. How did he stay put?
And an earthquake and a fire. And it's like, what? That's really funny. Anyway, just know that you are the point of power, that we live from the inside out, not the outside in. You decide, I decide, share and Bill decide how we respond to the current circumstances we are living in. And I'm going to use the word today, guys, that we are unity people. And so we are apocaloptimists.
I love it.
I love it.
Apocaloptimists.
You did it right.
I know, I did it right the first time. And that's defined in the Urban Dictionary as a person who knows things are going to hell in a handbasket and knows that there's going to be ultimately a good outcome. Go look it up.
It's in the Monday Musings also. We gave you credit for sharing.
Oh, it's in the Monday Musings. Oh, great, great. Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening. We're grateful for you. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Cher.
Oh, you're welcome.
Blessings.
And we encourage you to use affirmations and wash your hands and keep physical distance.
And there we go. Bye.